The latest twist in the Fairfax story is that the world's richest woman, Gina Rinehart, is now threatening to walk away if she doesn't get what she wants on the board of the media company. Last night, Four Corners on ABC television published written replies from her containing the threat. Shares in Fairfax dived to a record low of 53.5 cents after the announcement, but recovered slightly to end the day at 55 cents. This morning it emerged that she'd spent more than $20 million on new shares in Network 10, acquiring another 39 million shares. So who is the woman at the centre of so many current controversies? Gina Hancock, as she was then, grew up closely mentored by her father, Lang Hancock. The man who discovered and mined blue asbestos at Wittenoom in Western Australia, he went on to discover vast fields of iron ore in the Pilbara. He had pronounced political views, bankrolling the WA secessionist movement and the Workers' Party, which campaigned for small government but never won seats at any level of government. Among other things, he believed in the use of nuclear explosions for mining and construction in Australia. He thought environmentalism could only be achieved by the wholesale promotion of mining. And he predicted in the 70s that Bob Hawke would become Prime Minister and turn Australia into a trade union dictatorship. Adele Ferguson is the author of a book, Gina Rinehart, out today. I asked her how much Gina Rinehart was moulded in her father's image.
She's an absolute product of her father's politics. It's almost Lang speaking from the grave with some of the things that Gina believes in today. And you have to remember, she grew up very closely with Lang. She was the only child to Lang and Hope Hancock. And he had this business and he wanted an heir for it. So from an early age, she was his cadet. He would pull her out of school when she was 12, take her around the world to meet the likes of Margaret Thatcher, the President of Singapore, etc., etc., and introduced her to many, many colourful figures, such as Edward Teller, who was the father of the hydrogen bomb. So Gina listened to these people and absorbed it and then, you know, carried it forth. So when she was in her early 20s, for instance, she was at the forefront of the secessionist movement in WA.
And you mentioned Edward Teller there, that Lang Hancock, and he had a plan to use an atom bomb to blow up, basically create a new harbour through explosion in Western Australia. That kind of scheme permeated her life?
Yes, it did. Yes, so she agreed with that. They'd also realised that if you could use sort of atomic bombs, you could actually extract iron ore a lot cheaper than if you, you know, did it the traditional way. Yeah, she has very interesting beliefs and politics. You know, and today we see, you know, she's created a lobby group called ANDEV, which believes in a low-tax utopia. And, you know, many of the things that lobby group espouses, if you actually go back in time to 1979 when Lang wrote his manifesto, Wake Up Australia, it's eerily the same.
And he became very controversial at one stage when he talked about poisoning half-caste Aborigines. And she was around at that time. I mean, she was an adult at that time, I think. Has she ever repudiated that?
No, she's been very silent on that. So we really don't know what she thinks about that. I'd hasten to add, I couldn't imagine that she would agree with that. But you'd hope she wouldn't anyway.
Having written a large book about her, what kind of media proprietor do you think she would be?
Well, I think she's made it very clear that she'd like to have editorial influence. You know, according to the reports coming out of Fairfax, it's that she wants three board seats and she'd like to have some editorial influence, even to the point of influencing the hiring and firing of editors, which is, you know, not the Fairfax way. You know, boards are meant to sign a charter of independence. So I think she's made it clear that Gina would like to, you know, change some of the what she would deem the left-wing politics that permeates through the Fairfax newspapers.
There's a debate there, though, isn't there? One side says that she would turn it into the Sydney Mining Herald or the Mining Age.
Yes.
And the other side says she's a smart businesswoman and she wouldn't do anything that would devalue the brand.
Yeah, there are. But then again, Gina polarises everybody on so many different levels. So you really don't know. You know, she's calling herself a white knight who wants to help the ailing Fairfax. But it's hard to imagine how she's going to do that because she hasn't laid out a blueprint to investors or to the board.
Now, one of the strands that goes all the way through your book is litigation. Many people in this society would run a mile to stay out of courtrooms, and particularly to stop their lives being dragged through the public eye in courtrooms. Why is she so litigious?
There's a few factors. One, she has a determination that was inherited. It's in her DNA that she inherited from Lang Hancock. And the other is her second husband, Frank Reinhardt, was a US attorney who knew the law very well. And people who know her say that he really influenced her litigation to say it's a really powerful tool to get what you want.
And how far will she go to do that? For instance, the story of Rose Porteous and the witnesses.
Yes, in the inquest it was found that witnesses were paid by Hancock Prospecting to go on the stand and didn't really have much credibility.
And not just lunches and hotel bills.
No, it was, you know, in some cases it was $200,000. They were discredited, and then the inquest basically fell apart. And but in the inquest, Gina was actually questioned about that and said she, you know, yes, there were payments made, but it wasn't for the purposes of blackmailing or bribery or whatever. It was, you know, for their safety.
For
the safety of the witnesses.
That explains payments of up to $200,000?
Well, she said she didn't know the ins and outs of the payments.
Will she go on litigating until she gets what she wants in, say, the Fairfax case or with Channel 10 or whatever? Is that a pattern which is now thoroughly established?
Well, she's not litigating Fairfax. She is in litigation with her children.
But litigation with Fairfax is one of the issues, isn't it? The board have asked to be indemnified against litigation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I suppose they can look across at the West and see the West Australian is currently in litigation with her, as is one of their journalists.
Trying to get his sources.
Yes, that's right.
And what about the children? I mean, again, a lot of people would think, why would you do that to your own family, to yourself, drag all that through the courts?
Yeah, it's interesting. Gina didn't want to drag it through the courts. She tried desperately to keep it out of the courts. When it did get into the courts, she wanted to keep it confidential. So she's always attempting to keep everything private.
But it's out now and she's undeterred. She hasn't stopped because of that, has she?
No, she hasn't.
And she won't?
She won't. I think behind the scenes there's some discussions that have been going on regarding settlement. And at some stage there will either be a settlement or the courts will determine what happens in that fight. But, she's a very tough, single-minded, determined woman.
Adele Ferguson, whose book Gina Reinhardt is out today.